mein auf den Supercast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 429. I'm Adam, and the Master was so desperate to penetrate the Sanctum, he resorted to brute force. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I don't know what English cricket is coming to.
Rhys Parton.
Gentlemen, if you persist with this flippancy, it will be time to talk about disciplinary action.
Robert Haynes.
Shira, Shira, Tumal, Balur, Balur.
And Mary Lang.
This is the 1980s. Police boxes went out with the 60s.
And this week we're rather appropriately looking at time flight. It looks like the podcast has had a time flight back about 8 years with this lineup for the show. I should really get Ben on, to be fair. But, but here we are anyway. And how many of you haven't seen Time Flight before this?
I had not seen Time Flight before this.
Many times. Meters.
That wasn't really the question I asked. Odd answers then to the simple question. It's not a quiz. It's not a simple question as to how many of you haven't seen it.
I've seen bits and pieces of it because I tried
you haven't
to read
seen
the
it?
TARDIS novelization yep. a few years ago, and it was so confusing that I wanted to look at pieces of this to see what they were talking about, and it didn't help.
More confused.
Trust me,
it
didn't.
Okay, so basically nobody's seen it before. I think we're going to say that.
I have.
Apart from you.
I've seen it many times.
It's not a competition. Well, it might be one later. You never know. Right then, here we go then.
Waiting.
Flying tight. I mean, time flight. Oh, actually, we'll go into time flight. We'll talk about Wales Comic Con later, which I can do, which would have been awkward to talk about.
Wales Comic Con?
Yeah, it's in Telford, which isn't
even
in Wales.
Were you in Wales?
Which isn't in Wales.
No, it was in Telford, which is in England. But Wales Comic Con was moved from Wales to Telford,
yes,
out of
Wales.
So it's not Wales Comic Con then.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So right then. So episode starts with
you could also give us a complete rundown for 20 minutes of how many guests there were.
Kirby, shut up. Right, and that got edited out, by the way. Right then, so the episode begins with a shot of the of Concord, basically, for an old library, footage, and then sort of film footage from within the cabin of Concord, with one of the worst actresses I've ever seen on any program of any genre ever. Just thought I'd drop that one in there.
Actresses.
Well, there was an actress there.
The stewardess.
Yes.
Is that Claire
Angela
Clifford?
Clifton.
Angela Clifford. Isn't Claire Clifford?
Anyway, there's a scene of basically some...
Characters called Angela.
Sort of generic Concorde flying sort of footage, and then it mysteriously disappears. Meanwhile, on the TARDIS, or in the TARDIS, Nyssa and Tegan are still recoiling from the death of Adric. So much so that Tegan's hair's pulled back away from her forehead, which looks a bit old.
Is this Master?
Is it Master? No, that's later on in the episode, Kirby.
Is this one of the first... instances where the Doctor basically says it was a fixed point in time. He doesn't say
pretty
those
much.
Words, but yeah.
Possibly so.
The rules that he has to follow.
But Tegan is right, and that essentially it wouldn't have changed much if they had just rescued Adric and let
Adric's destiny. Poor Adric, then.
Yeah, so
the fly effect.
But then he could never be absolutely sure of getting the TARDIS in the right place unless it was actually written in the script that way.
Right.
Yeah. Right then. Anyway, so we're going to
add the Doctor's
anyway.
Always travelling back on these timeline because look at A Christmas Carol. That episode is built on him doing that.
What it is indeed. So,
and
yes.
Also, this is the third time he's gone to past Heathrow.
It is.
Or second.
Oh, I don't know.
Visitation
past.
And this one.
Second, yeah.
In the past, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he was even further back in the past there. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
The past,
right,
a bit more trees in the other one.
I quite like this scene, actually, this opening scene where they're still sort of mulling over.
And
it's quite a good dramatic scene in which he explains it, because obviously they're all quite upset Nyssa.
Yeah, and then it's off to the adventure.
Yeah.
Wonder what's happening at Ord.
It's a bit like that. They do take the Doctor's sort of talking to heart quickly, so fortunately for the episode. And then there's a bit of TARDIS sort of bumping into... nearly bumping into Concords and all sorts of funny things going on. We see a great shot of the TARDIS hovering on the runway. And
sort of harkens back to Evil of the Daleks, though.
Yeah,
when
it
they
does.
Landed
yes,
the,
it does.
The
yes, it Gavik. Does indeed. Have you been watching Doctor Who for a while, Robert? Sorry, what are you saying?
I wasn't alive when Evil of the Daleks went out.
So, the TARDIS materialised.
Master.
Nearly. Yes?
Speaking of explaining... the Doctor says four times in this story,
uh-oh.
I'll explain later.
He does. Well, that's I did pre-warn
does,
you
he?
That that is the fifth,
game,
the fifth Doctor's catchphrase.
Yeah.
Is, I'll explain later. Anyway, so the TARDIS materialises, and Seacon starts to feel she might be getting where she's been moaning about for the whole series, where she needs to be. As it arrives...
Changes his mind.
Yeah. As it arrives, a troop of men... accompanied with a couple of police officers, approach them. And
I have a question.
I bet you do.
What do you do? That's the answer.
I thought that the BBC wasn't allowed to advertise, and here they're advertising British Airways and Heathrow.
I think that you probably know this anyway, Kirby, but it was a very rare thing to get to film at Heathrow Airport. So I think they probably did a deal with British Airways so they could actually film at Heathrow Airport. You probably already know that, though, don't you?
Do you want to hear something interesting, though?
Yes,
please, as long as you can promise it's actually interesting, Robert, please.
Right. Well, okay. In the I think it's the deleted... No, it must be one of the studio scenes at the end, the extras. And they actually play the jingle... for British Airways, when the guy's fixing the wheel, brake forward, and it's actually on the DVD, they're playing the jingle in the background, and it tells you on the subtitles that they're playing the jingle. So it's a bit more advertising there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I did read about the fact that they did, in fact, make a deal because it saved them having to totally reconstruct an airplane wheel, the one that they used. In so many scenes is actually on a Concorde. So yeah, they did make a deal with British Airways.
There you go. Right, so the Doctor gets out of a tricky situation by doing a bit of name dropping with the unit, which was quite charming.
I did too.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
indeed. There's also another reference later on. We'll talk about that later to earlier Doctor Who. But yes, it was a nice sort of reference to UNIT, and it was a good way of getting out of a fairly awkward situation.
Is it C-19?
Pardon?
C-19.
What do you mean?
Yes. That's what you said. When he's talking about UNIT, he says section
C-19. Okay, well done. That's I wouldn't have put that in the quiz, so well done. Anyway, my DVD stopped for the moment, so just bear with me while it decrashes. Oh dear, what's going on here? I think my DVD player's crashed. Oh, I think my Mac's crashed. Are you still there?
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Mac can't. Therefore, the Mac can't have crashed.
Macs don't crash.
Yes, what's they do. The not, just not as anywhere near as often as non-Macs. Oh, it's blooming stopping. And what can I do? I can't even go get the fourth quit up. That's awkward. In fact, it's not doing anything. That's weird. I'll turn my mouse on and off, see what happens.
And don't leave it by a graveside.
Oh, dear. That's really weird.
It's just Max Bygraves.
This is when I see if I can get it play by pressing the keyboard. Wow, it's just not doing anything, yet I'm still connected to you. This is bizarre.
Are we still recording?
Of course we're recording. I can't do anything. I know why it's done that, because I'm trying to copy files over to the desktop. I might have to...
You can't do more than one thing at once.
Well, I think I've actually finished...
An old computer, no.
No, it's not that well it is. It's about 5 years. Oh, we're back.
And front and sides, too.
Oh, nearly. Hang on. The mouse. It's just buffering up all the previous things I did while I was waiting for it to catch up with itself, which it still hasn't quite done.
I hate that.
So
it's like when I try to press new tab on a thing and I keep pressing, and then suddenly it all comes out at once.
Oh, the mouse is connected again. Hooray! Right, we are back. That was really weird. Never seen that happen before. So only because it was trying to do the Concorde-y bit. Right, where do we get up to? So yeah, so a Concorde has disappeared, and he quickly gets himself in the situation because he's with UNIT and stuff like that as the man to investigate this mysterious disappearance of Concorde. And I quite like the way they used that as an excuse for it to allow him to do it. So it got him into the story, got him into the situation, which suited UNIT down to the ground. But UNIT perhaps should have turned up because it was in an international airport and a thing of national security. But that's the only thing they'd
probably do it if it was done today, wouldn't they?
Yeah, if they mention UNIT. There should really be UNIT should have made a presence, in my view. Mm. And it wouldn't have taken much, just a couple of people in uniforms.
Just a few uniforms. I like the idea of it's convenient the doctor's there, you handle this doctor, we'll come along if you need us.
Yeah. Anyway.
So like
he played the UNIT card. Oh no, hang on, we're doing it again now. Oh no, we're back. Right. And so then we see some footage of Concorde and some air traffic control stuff, and we meet most of the cast, including Roger. You heard my quote, didn't you? I think they were dropping in some deliberate double entendre type lines in this story.
Oh, goodness,
including
calling this chap Roger so they could actually use Roger and penetrate and stuff like that in the dialogue. Did they were stupid?
All the pilots, I mean, all the people, the crew, the three guys, they were all gay as well.
Were they?
And apparently they cracked everybody else up, but had a good time making this.
Well, such as in the bloopers, this is jumping forward a lot, but there's a bit where Roger is trying to break into the sanctum.
Yeah.
And when they say, call cut, they say they've got the shot. He goes, oh, he's so butch.
Yes.
Anyway, right, moving on. So, which were the actors? You say some of these main actors were gay. What the captain and Roger were the Tash, and they were all gay.
All three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
And sadly, British Airways. They asked British Airways, and they said, "Oh, this is you cast very well." They were saying this is like real how the people would be, what type of people they would be. So, I thought that was funny as well.
Brilliant. I also like the way that they put the TARDIS on its side in the cargo hold. Not sure it would
actually fit. It makes reference to Castor Valva. As I believe it was in the discontinuity guide, it's mentioned, well, if the TARDIS has this thing...
Yeah,
has
Tegan's
this
problem, room.
Huh?
Tegan's room.
Yeah, Tegan's room would probably be all messed up.
Yeah.
I read that as well.
The hatstand fell over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
ornaments and photos or whatever that they'd have.
I know. And also the fact...
Everything would be a mess.
It wouldn't make it... doesn't really... It's a different dimension inside the TARDIS, so it shouldn't have actually made a difference. And also, the hat stand had fallen over, but it would only just fallen over. It would have slid down to the other end of the TARDIS console room. And how do you know which way is up for the TARDIS console room? Yeah. So it was all
Peter Davison made reference to the little contortions his contortion acting where he's like climbing down as his Olga Corbett moves.
Ah. But the other thing that's reminded me of course, it was the Doctor's first story where obviously he the TARDIS is on its side in Amelia Pond's garden.
Yes, of that.
Anyway, so anyway, that silly scene out of the way, not really much about the plot. And they arrive in what they think or looks like Heathrow Airport. But Nyssa detects something odd.
CSO.
Yeah.
She noticed something very odd about. This is where the CSO actually does work, doesn't it? Because it gives it that.
Oh, you're breaking up.
Am I?
Your voice is. Yeah.
Yes, breaking up is hard to do.
Yeah. Your picture is pixelating and your voice is breaking up.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if that's anything to do with Isabella using up my bandwidth.
Maybe.
Oh, well. I thought she was going
to bed.
She'd
be in bed.
Yeah, well, she's in a bedroom, and I thought she was considering going to bed because she's tired. But anyway, right then, so yeah, like we say, CSO backgrounds, and then Nyssa sees some dead bodies, and they quickly realise that.
What's wrong, Robert?
Yeah, the real wow.
But I did like with this CSO there. They did make mention. Everything's becoming blurry. Yeah. So that sort of made CSO.
Yeah, I just said that, Robert. I'll let you off because you might not have been able to hear me.
Anyway. Probably pixelated.
Yeah, your voice is a bit blurry right now.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, then the background changes to a sort of not medieval, a primeval background, which would actually look really, really good. And we have this.
Except for the complaints that people have. How could they possibly have landed in this rocky landscape?
Yes.
Yeah, whatever.
But how can they travel through camera, time? Where the area of the camera, that could be flat for we know.
We don't know.
Yes, indeed.
But as Peter Davison mentioned, he was saying they had the landscape all rocky and that, and he says he's lived around Heathrow for so many years or whatever. There's not mountains around there, so you know mountains don't just disappear.
But it was supposed to be about 65 million years ago, was it not?
Yeah, they could have disappeared in that amount of time.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure they would have done.
No.
Google the Earth's continental arrangement for 65 million years ago. I think you find that 65 million years ago that the actual arrangement of the continents was slightly different as it is now.
Oh yeah,
indeed. Anyway, so there's a sort of just a plane wheel which doesn't need. I don't know if that's really accurate to a Concorde wheel, but there it is. Just looks a bit small.
I told you.
Change one in the extras.
Rather than mocking one up, they're using an actual Concorde. That's why they got the arrangement with British Airways.
That is a Concorde wheel.
No, this is the one on set is not a real one.
Oh, I was going to say, because it doesn't look big enough.
The one in the extras where they're standing next to the real one.
Oh, okay. But it does look a bit small. Anyway, and then we meet Khalid.
Small. Way too small.
Yeah, all right. And then we meet Khalid for the first time, comedy character.
Can I mention something?
No. Oh, go on then.
Which is something which I just noticed, and I never thought about it before, but there are no stairs up to the cockpit, up to the plane. Obviously, you can get off by a slide, but you're not going to get up by an inflatable slide, are you? So how do they get back up?
It's a science fiction fantasy TV show. Hey, right.
You can't just show the outside of this plane.
Yeah, then we meet Khalid.
Faster.
Oh, God, nearly got there. Yes?
Speaking of product placement, I just placed a picture out on Facebook. As we were just watching as those officials come up to the TARDIS on the balcony, they passed by a video game called Astro Fighters.
Yes. Oh, is that it? Oh, okay, I did see that.
Product placement.
Marvellous. Right then.
Yeah, we're going back in time like the characters in the story.
Yes. I do love that. Right. When the first... don't get distracted by the stupidity of the character of Khalid. It's the way the camera sweeps in on that first scene of him is really cool. And I do love his little sort of almost like a... the little, the ball he's looking into. It's quite cool as well. I quite like that.
If I didn't know ahead of time it was Anthony Ainley, I still would have recognized his voice.
Yeah, it was a bit. There was a hint of, but at the time, I don't think I was fooled. Until
it's very racist, though, isn't it? His performance.
Yes, he is.
Is he? I don't know.
Very politically incorrect.
I thought he was supposed to be an alien. I thought he was supposed to be an alien, or trying to pretend to be an alien character.
No, he's supposed to be a Middle Eastern magician.
Yeah.
Is he?
He's talking about the Arabian Nights.
He's got so
like
much
that,
makeup on. He looks like an alien.
The genie from Aladdin.
Anyway, he said about the lead actors all being, the pilots and stuff, all being gay. Well, I did know that one of the chaps was gay because he was a campaigner. He used to be in EastEnders. He played in EastEnders. I think they were the first to have openly gay characters.
Board,
first soap to have openly gay characters. Mm. And he was...
Cresswell or something or whatever?
I don't know, but he was... His character, I think that his partner died in EastEnders, but he went on to become an activist for gay rights and stuff. And
Michael Cashman.
Yeah, I didn't know the chap Latash was gay, and I certainly didn't know the other one. But I mean, he does look a bit like Michael Portillo, who is gay. So maybe there is a bit here.
Yeah, Keith Drinkle, who he's in one of the making of things, and he's or maybe it's a tour of the plane itself, but he is telling Peter Davison all these stories about all three of them being gay.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And, you know, Richard Eastman just died a few days ago.
Yeah.
Which one's Richard Eastman?
Sadly.
Captain.
Is that the one without the tash?
Yeah, the tall guy.
Oh, the tall one, yeah. Hair. I didn't know that. Oh, for goodness sake, it's gone and... God. I think it's you lot interrupting me that's causing these women hold-ups on this.
No, you shouldn't be doing all these other things while we're recording.
I'm not doing anything else. All I've got open is Skype and the DVD player. God's sake. Or maybe Google, but that's always open.
I thought you said you were copying some files.
No, yeah. I was doing that before we started, but that's no longer happening.
Mm. Well, it's times like this that the Doctor wishes he still had his scarf.
It's time. Yes. Another little reference, yes. How long did it take for the thing to start working again before we it did this? You know what's going to happen? When it does start working again, it's back. Oh, we're back. Hang on. Right. So, God's sake, it's this DVD.
Alan T. Butcher said, there's two comments to my my No Life feed.
No, we're not at feedback yet.
Well, no, this is just...
It doesn't like this DVD.
Kind of like the live, what we would normally get from the live feed commentary.
Be quiet.
Lillian says, aw.
And, it doesn't like this DVD. It's been kicking off about it. There's something about it. It keeps on crashing.
Alan T. Butcher says, the story is so bad that the podcast will need to be edited before it is suitable for public consumption.
It's not doing what I want it to do. Right, I'm getting cross now.
Well, we're done with that episode. Why don't you stop your playback?
I'm going to stop. Shut up. I'm going to stop. I'm going to quit DVD player because it's really not me off. And open up iTunes because I know I've got it on iTunes. So see if we can get it played through iTunes. Good old iTunes. That's an Apple thing. Funny that.
Yeah, I gave up iTunes years ago.
I don't give a tinker's cuss. Right, then, let's get it to open up.
I need it for my iPod.
Still waiting for it to load.
I gave up my iPod years ago.
You were addicted to it? My name is Kirby and I gave up iPods.
Yeah, my old iPod Touch is still plugged into a charger.
Do you Americans know about global warming and
it's not working.
Stuff? It's really pointless leaving something plugged in which you're never going to use. That's really not good for the environment.
Yeah.
Is it, Rhys?
No, it isn't.
No.
You knew I'd be the one passionate about that. There we go.
Just waiting for iTunes to load so I can talk about the rest of episode one. God's sake, where far are we in now?
Well, 33
minutes.
We're
moving on to episode two.
Did we finish episode one?
Yeah, because remember when Nessa screamed? We talked about Nessa screaming? When she saw the skeletons, and that was the end of the episode.
I don't remember talking about that. I was so getting wrapped up in this thing crashing every 5 seconds because it doesn't like the
DVD. He wasn't listening to you, Robert. You did mention her screaming, but...
Yeah.
God. I might have to reboot this thing. I think that it's just getting the memories overloaded. I think it's just got... It's not...
Clear the cache.
That's the word. It's not clearing its own...
The screaming is not the cliffhanger. It's the Doctor being surrounded by the blobby things.
Yeah, I got up to the bit...
I said it was nearly...
Yeah, I got up to the bit where we see Khalid for the first time, and you were talking about him, it being a racist situation.
Khalid, not Khalid.
Oh, whatever! Nissa is acting a bit sort of like she knows it all, acting a bit strange, like she's almost tuned into something psychic. There's like a picture of a crashed spaceship, which is quite an impressive little crashed spaceship. I was quite impressed with that little model.
I was disappointed when they actually went to it though, and they just showed you a really close up view of them looking at some girders, and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was disappointing.
Okay. But I will tell you what was odd, that some of the actors were acting as if it was cold and some weren't. I thought that was quite funny as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's like Time of the Rani, isn't it? When Sylvester McCoy's acting cold and everybody else is acting normal.
So,
When they were out on the tarmac and also on the roof at Heathrow, it really was cold.
That was cold.
Janet Fielding was freezing.
So, yeah, Khalid has sort of hypnotized the whole of the previous crew and passengers of the other...
All too easily.
Yeah. Well, he's the master, and they will obey him.
Can I mention a real bad flaw in the story?
Oh, yes.
In that the master is dressed up and acting like this Khalid, and there's nobody else to see him.
I think he's a method actor, the master.
Well, number one, we need to disguise the fact that the master's in the story.
Yes.
And number two, there's some speculation I read online was that there's a possibility that to find out more about the people that are in the aliens who are behind all this, that Khalid may have been someone who hypnotized or something and then took over his
I could see that.
Yeah, he decided to act like Khalid.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I will share with you. Oh my gosh.
Oh, what are we doing?
Will you stop trying to phone me?
What's that?
It says Ben started sharing a video.
Yeah. Ben, tell him
Ben
not.
Ben Shoveler wants to video chat with you.
Tell him he can't. We're on Skype.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Tell him he's interrupting the podcast with his sillinesses. Don't know where he got this idea from that you could actually talk to each other.
One of you guys. I declined the call.
I declined it also.
I did as well. But I've also said that I tried to call you on Skype.
He must be feeling rejected right now.
Yes.
I did post to him. We tried to call you on Skype. Well, I tried to call him on Skype. I'll text. This is really going well. This show, isn't it?
We disturb him in the toilet for then we ignore him.
Well, he's got to have Skype open in order to receive your call.
Yeah, but I can't call him on Facebook Messenger while we're communicating on Skype. One, because Facebook Messenger's quality is appalling, audio-wise.
Yes.
And that's really the only reason, to be fair. Right then.
And then that bizarre echo happens.
Can you just text him?
I'm just doing that now. This is multitasking, Mary. Right.
This is a pretty rum idea.
While doing that, I will share that I read that... this script was originally written just for there to be the character Khalid, but then they discovered somewhere along the way that they were on a three-story deal with Ainley.
Oh.
So then they had to kind of get him into the episode somehow. So they made him be the imitation Khalid, but that's also where things started to fall apart for them as well. So.
Thank you, Mary. That's how it's done, Kirby. That's how you provide everybody with an interesting fact. Okay.
I do so occasionally.
Right, back to Doctor Who. Right then. So yeah, the next scene is where we see the rather poorly rendered crashed spaceship, which the Doctor and Tegan are looking at. I got a ding. And then we meet the worst actress in the history of television.
Yeah.
First actress in the history of television.
Worst. It's not been the first. She'd be pretty old, was she not? The worst. The worst actress.
You mean Judith Byfield as Angela Clifford?
Oh, she's terrible. She is terrible. And then
she's
these
not
weird.
Good. She's not necessarily that bad.
Yeah, she is bad.
Yeah.
Then you get these strange sort of creatures that appear, a bit like the ones out of Stones of Blood, and start herding the. Some really weird special effects.
Journey to the Center of the TARDIS, all those kind of like time zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
But there's some really weird special effects they use in this story. And one of them is these like smoke ring thing. And then you get washing up. And the washing up liquid thing that surrounded the Doctor.
Yeah. He had an accident.
No. You know what it was? Like, they look very phallic-like. And maybe they just did something over him.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, thanks, Robert.
The actors inside the creature costumes kept falling over because their arms were pinned to their side.
Yeah.
Because they're ridiculous costumes.
So basically, that's how the episode ends.
They couldn't see. There was no. There was nothing.
Yeah,
and they couldn't barely hear as well.
Yeah. Or walk.
And Kirby, wasn't that floor manager? She was very good at knowing who was behind.
There's some video footage where she's moving them around.
Anyway, so yeah. That's how the episode ended, with the Doctor covered in washing up liquid. And but he's all right. There's nothing wrong with it. He's got a great big bubble above his head. It's almost like he's been sort of hypnotized by foam. And they pick him up. He's fine. It was a bit of a pointless cliffhanger.
Master?
Oh, bloody hell.
We've been at it for...
I bet you have.
I'm
trying to do a podcast here, for goodness sake.
That's what she said.
I think we just killed him.
Well, if you finish, I'll carry on. Right then. And then we meet the professor. Oh, who's that?
It's not me.
Shen Bavala. Troy. Oh, what? Is that on Skype? Oh, hang on.
Yes.
Skype's gone a bit funny. Right, so if I've got Adam. Oh, good Lord. Hang on. Oh, this is really, really going well. I'm on DVD player. Right, Skype. How do I add someone on Skype, for goodness sake? Especially when the computer's going slowly.
Hello, my name is Sophie Aldred, and you, yes you, are listening to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Well, just can't eat it. Can't
change. Pizza!
Adam
Pearson
joined.
Oh, he does,
doesn't
he? There he is.
There he is.
My goodness, who's that?
What is going on with the sound?
Well, we're all talking.
We can hear you.
Yeah, we're talking and we can hear you.
Oh, that's because the sound had gone down low. That's why I couldn't
turn the volume back up.
Yeah.
Have you tried turning it back on?
Welcome to 8:30 in the evening on the Isle of Wight.
Hang on, I'm just turning the volume down on my speaker. Because something hurt, like people upstairs might come down and tell me off. Right, speak.
That's what speak. She said.
All right, well, here we are.
Well,
yeah. We've been getting
welcome to the episode this week. We're talking about time flight. We've got to start over.
No, I think I'll have to edit. I'm not going to, I will tell you now before we start talk about time flight again. I'm going to have to do it by memory because I'm not going to risk putting that DVD back in, because I think the whole thing was caused by the DVD itself when I was trying to skip through parts of it like I normally do.
We really need a recap, or can we just talk about our
opinions?
We'll
talk about episode one, but it's going to be difficult trying to remember which bits are relevant to which episodes. So, why is there a blue flashing light outside?
There are flashing lights.
Is that TV or something?
So it's either Christmas or you're in trouble. The police are out there.
The police, yeah.
I think I've got a blue red light. Right, shush. Right, back to Doctor Who. And thank you for coming on the show, Ben.
That's quite all right. It's a pleasure to be invited back after such a long absence. I thought I'd have got a phone call a little bit earlier. Obviously, you don't like me that much anymore.
Anyway, let's see if you're still recording. Otherwise, that is the sort of thing that might happen. Oh, you were still... You are sort of still recording. That's excellent. Right then, has my battery run out yet? No, good. Okay, so listeners, due to this amazing
Ben, I have a question.
God.
Since we're not going to be doing any more of classic Who until the new year when the new series starts, I wonder if Ben will be watching that and joining us.
What the new?
It's not Moffat. It's not Moffat or RTD.
There's a new series.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, hang on. I want to hear something. Who's worse, Moffat or Chibnall?
He hasn't been watching it, so how would he know?
Hands down, Chibnall.
At the end of the day, I'm not aware of this new fella because I thought Doctor Who finished at the end of Peter Capaldi.
Oh.
How many fellas carried it on?
I would agree.
Who's Doctor? Which fella's Doctor Who now, then?
Well, I've got some news for you. Are we sitting down?
Shut up!
Oh, I am.
Right.
Wait for my response. So, anyway, Adam, let's carry on with the recording.
Yes. Now, due to the amazing feat of... I'll tell you what, I had a full head of hair before this blooming show. Due to the amazing feat of editing, we're now going to continue, obviously having reviewed episode one over about 45 minutes, talking about it. Oh, now the thing's completely frozen. My picture's frozen. Are you still there?
Yeah,
we're
still here.
Yeah, we're here.
It might be a bit risky continuing the video feed as my Mac is now... I might have a memory issue, you know. My video's frozen for some reason. Am I still moving at your end?
Yeah,
Yes.
Oh, weird. Not my end. It's completely frozen. Anyway,
I don't want to know about your end moving.
Where do we get up to? Right then, so episode two. We're not going to talk about episodes. So we've got Khalid, who is rather bizarrely and inexplicably sort of manipulating or capturing Concords, taking them to prehistoric ages where obviously the master has got stuck. So he's decided to change his identity for our benefit and not necessarily the Doctor's benefit.
What I find funny, how the Doctor just says, "Ah, so you escaped from Castor of Alva after all." Yes. And, like, that's no explanation whatsoever of what happened. It's just,
That's episode three, isn't it?
We're talking about episode two, which it's still... The thing about episode two, and I'm trying to remember what happened off the top of my head, but he's... obviously, the Doctor's really confused by what's going on, probably like the viewer. Be fair, Nyssa's sort of,
or even the people who watched it.
Nyssa has some sort of mental and psychic connection to this race of aliens. And
the professor has come in in episode two.
Yeah, the professor came in.
No, Sigmund Freud.
Do you know he reminded me of the
or was it Colonel Sanders?
He reminded me of the professor from the one who invented K9. That one.
That's who I thought. I thought the exact same thing. Professor Marius.
That's the one.
He's also Mind of Evil. He was also not Mind of Evil. Planet of Evil.
Planet of Evil. Yes.
Well, anyway, apparently,
Freddy Yeager.
Oh yes. Apparently, Kirby.
Apparently, what's his name? The actor, Nigel Stock, was in the Sherlock Holmes TV series in the early 60s on the BBC.
Was he?
That's on YouTube, I think.
And also he played young Sherlock Holmes' mentor in the movie, Young Sherlock Holmes.
Okay.
I've got that movie.
So I've had to suffer 45 minutes of technical problems to try and get this call back on.
Not talking about Doctor Who.
You input that particular fact. Mary, can you tell him how to put interesting facts about the episode we're talking about?
I just can't change him.
Nyssa's connected to these weird alien things that were inserted just for the sake of it.
Are they plasmatons or xerophones?
Plasmatrides, yeah.
Them. And basically, Khalid wants the Doctor's TARDIS because he needs a component from it to essentially repair his own TARDIS. So he's gone on this elaborate sort of ploy to get Concords and then use the crew.
Isn't it funny how the electronics all look like Earth electronics?
Yes.
1980s Earth electronics.
Yeah.
Yes. There's also a point in which
this was filmed in the 80s.
Well, I thought one of the most interesting parts of this episode is when Adric is sort of the illusion of Adric appears, because obviously when I remember watching this when it went out, and when Adric appeared, oh, he's all right, oh, great. But he wasn't.
I loved that.
I saw his really badge straight away, and I thought, they can't be.
Yeah, it was well done. Is that when you originally watched it, or after already knowing that the badge was there?
No, when I originally watched it.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't spot that. That's what I'm like.
And then as soon as I noticed that, then Tegan says something about, who said about the badge? Was it Nyssa or Tegan?
One of them.
Nyssa is the know-it-all, so it'd be a...
We also had Melkor and...
Yes, the Melkor, yes. Which is, again...
And Terelepdol.
These were quite nice little pointless throwbacks to previous...
I like that sort of thing, though.
I did too.
John Nathan Turner liked it as well, because he did it an awful lot. But, and the funniest scene when... I'm jumping forward a bit here, because I can't really remember much of episode two, apart from... people getting hypnotized and unhypnotized, and they're trying to sort of
running around places.
Yeah, and there's a scene in which
is that when Nyssa and Tegan get locked up, isn't it? Second episode.
Yeah,
in the chamber.
Yeah. And also, obviously, when the Doctor does sort of come into the same room as Khalid, he doesn't realise it's the Master, but he does realise he's a sort of a foe, and he treats him as such. But there's a bit of bribery going on where the Master stroke Khalid uses the same method the Cybermen used in Earthshock to, make the Doctor do, you know, because all aviatardis, otherwise this will happen, and it was quite easy to, you know, in Earthshock it was threatening to kill Tegan. In this episode, it was threatening another thing. Anyway, so the master
crew.
Yes.
Did you notice something? I said this when you weren't, trying to fix things up. About when the master falls down when he's Khalid.
Yeah.
And all that green stuff comes out.
Yes.
For what reason would he have that coming out when he's going to take off the mask?
Because it's psychic, written into the script.
Psychic.
Yeah, but there's that as well. But
that's the only bloody reason.
It's all part of the perception filter.
In reality.
And as I pointed out on Facebook, to Billy, I saw two different stories about if that's actually Anthony Anley with the green stuff coming out, or if it's a stunt double. But in both stories, the person in the suit almost drowned from the stuff because there's an outtake.
Well, the behind the scenes video, nice, it didn't sound like.
Yeah, they
like
showed
Anley
him full. No, it doesn't. Yeah, they call him Steve or something.
They say it's an extra, but in the info text, they say it's him.
Yeah.
It's almost like the info text got something wrong.
That's unusual, isn't it?
I've found problems with info text.
But having info text is written by the same people who write Wikipedia. Oh, no, it's not. Sorry. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
No, I write them both.
So back to Doctor Who. So basically, you got up to bit I was about to talk about where that he sort of kills Khalid, and then the master steps up. Surprise, surprise.
You never know what I'm up to, do you, Doctor?
And he's wearing, it must be really hot, wearing his full master suit underneath.
Yeah.
And his hair is in perfect condition.
His normal master suit underneath.
Yeah. And his eyeliner as well.
Yeah. But anyway, and again, obviously, he sort of tries to get the upper hand of the Doctor, gets the TARDIS and dematerializes it, and but what the only sort of bits that really annoyed me is those pilots go, the gay trio pilots, as you call them, go into the console room and fiddle with a few bits.
They were called the Crispin Boys.
Yeah, and are able to do something to the TARDIS console.
I like that scene.
They didn't know what on earth they were talking about, though. Yeah. I liked that they were just trying to do something to impede the Master's plan.
And can I say something about that, though?
That's the only bit I found a bit difficult.
Listen, Sarah Sutton's dad is a pilot, right? He flies planes.
Yes.
And Sarah's saying that a pilot would come along to something like that and says, well, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
Because he's saying that's what his dad would have done.
I wasn't so much of him giving it a go. It was succeeding in doing something with
that could have been the
time or technology.
Not really. They didn't really succeed in anything. It wasn't until the professor's sort of reincarnation actually saves. Yeah. I mean, the master's the one that put them above the Citadel.
Yeah.
And what didn't the doctor say something about limiting something or whatever? So it couldn't get away or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah.
That was after that was at the end of the story. But I remember Stapley wanted to close the doors and he was about to pull the lever that does it. And Bilton says, I don't think it would be that control that does that. And as it turns out, it was. And so he doesn't close the door.
What gets me is that they fit in all these controls and you didn't get that sideways flick of the camera and the ear noise that you always got with the... when someone flicked the wrong button when it went turned all the dimensions sideways or whatever. Okay, I'll let you have that one. It was okay. But, anyway, so they do something that sort of does scupper some of the Master's plans, at least, and it results in the usual Doctor-Master thing where the Master has to agree that he needs the Doctor's help to sort of get out of the situation.
Yeah, the pilot swaps some of the pieces around that are obviously just sitting on shelves underneath the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they find a way, bizarrely, of reversing everything and then flying the Concords back to Heathrow. The Master, meanwhile...
Did you notice something about that, though? When they showed you footage of the plane taking off,
you
could
see houses in the background.
Oh, can you?
The birds haven't necessarily evolved.
Okay. They're pterodactyls, Kirby.
Babies.
Yeah, babies, yeah. Baby pterodactyls, yeah.
Well, while we're talking about the return of the Concords when we're still in episode 3.
Because he's not looking at reference material. He's trying to get through this quicker because we need to.
Anyway.
Well, then we need to talk about the aliens and...
I did refer to the aliens. I did like them aliens, actually, apart from their jumpsuits. You could see the zip up the front. Well, it was the seam up the front. That irritated me a little
bit. But they looked okay.
It was a repainted robot from Earthshock.
Was it?
Yeah, maybe with the suits.
The faces, I thought, were quite coolly painted.
They were very different.
So that was
probably helped that we saw them the way that they.
And I quite liked the fact that one of them was sort of there was like a good and evil one, a good one and an evil one, wasn't there? And they looked sort of
there was an ego and an id.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, can I ask a question?
No.
Obviously, that glowing ball thing that they found in the chamber, that's all their. People combined, isn't it? Their energy or their life forces in there or whatever, right? Yeah. And that was just there's the bad part of it arguing with the good part.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
can I ask a question?
Yeah, please do, Ben. Make it sensible.
Oh.
No, actually, no, don't bother. Yeah, go on.
So you're telling me there's a new series of Doctor Who and they didn't answer it after Capaldi?
Yes. And judging by this review that's of Time Flight, it's probably just as well.
Seriously. Well, this is what I remember, though. I remember this episode, and I remember what you're talking about, which makes a change.
Well, there we go. But anyway, so we got up to the bit where they've flown the Concords, and the Doctor's manipulated so they can get there before the Master, and they get the Concords.
Did he materialise around him or something?
I can't remember. So he did something. So we see it floating midair, don't we? The column thingamajig.
Yeah, it doesn't quite make sense. I mean, he says. He's going to be there before the Master, in which he does.
Yeah.
But supposed to take place, materialize in the same space, but obviously he doesn't.
But so he wouldn't I don't do. Know.
He can't. Yeah.
That was the limiter device that he'd given the Master. He might have tinkered with it a little bit.
Because he says he can't leave Zerafin or something like that.
Zerafess.
But anyway, so they get back and Tegan goes off somewhere and. Before she going off, she does admit to Nyssa she actually quite enjoys flying around with the Doctor, but then sort of gets left behind because the Doctor's...
And just happened to take her handbag with her for one of the first times that we see...
Yeah, well, she was thinking about leaving, wasn't she? And then she sort of had it and then decided, oh, maybe she should have stayed where she was and...
Yeah, but she would have said goodbye.
The Doctor just takes off without comment. It's not like he even says, well, now she's where she wanted to be or anything. He just takes off without her.
Yeah, I think he probably assumed.
It's only afterwards he says, where's Tegan?
Yeah, I think he probably assumed that she probably wanted to go back to work. But we'll find out in the next
The thing is, she was on Concord with the flight crew. Yes. The TARDIS lands separately, and then she comes with the flight crew from where the plane landed, walks through the airport.
Yes.
She just turns up after them because she actually started to look around and take in Heathrow Airport.
Yes.
So she was trying to get to the Doctor, but he was running away from the security, and he just thought, oh, I'll just make a call to sort this out. He disappears, not realizing she's not in there because he's become very absent-minded.
But anyway, so that's basically the story. Sorry for missing out on the standard review of it. I would advise if you really want to know where we got up to with Time Flight, watch it. Sorry, Robert, carry on.
I was going to say that the Doctor could have just stayed in the TARDIS and waited because it's not as though they could have gotten in.
Or they could have just nipped back and got her. Yeah, they could have
So
the hordes of Genghis Khan couldn't get through that door.
Yeah, and they could have maybe waited till she got home and picked her up. The 10th and 11th Doctor were always doing that, especially the 10th, just sort of landing. Actually, more the 11th, wasn't it? Just landing in Clara's living room and picking her up.
Well, I would think that Tegan 12th. Would have some bad memories of going back home because of Aunt Vanessa.
Aunt Vanessa, yeah.
Let's talk about
Tegan has bad luck with her relatives, doesn't she? There's Aunt Lavinia, and then Ark of Infinity.
We haven't got to Ark of Infinity yet, Robert.
Yeah, I've never seen Ark of Infinity, so no spoilers.
That's unusual for you, not wanting spoilers.
Yeah, Kirby's worried about spoilers.
Yeah. No, I'm just being contrary.
Okay, well, forget about time. Ark of Infinity for the moment. We'll talk about that in March, because that's probably where we're going to be rejoining the journey. Yeah. But as far as Time Flight. Now, Time Flight has been renowned as being one of the worst Doctor Who stories of all time. But I, for some reason, even though I can see the bad, sort of comedically bad elements of it, shall we say, I find it quite compelling viewing. I was able to watch all four episodes without thinking, oh, God, I've got to watch the next one. I don't know why that is. Maybe because sometimes things are so bad they could become fascinating. I don't know. And it's not all completely bad. Obviously, there's some fairly good performances in there. There's some good sort of double entendre drop-ins that you're trying to listen out for.
Yes. Not a good enough excuse to use the word penetration, but they did many times.
It reminded me of that episode of Rainbow, which was completely full of double entendres to the extent it wasn't subtle enough, shall we say. And it was nice to see Adric for one last time. And it was okay. Well, obviously, it's not that good, but it's not so bad that it's not rewatchable, and I can't understand that. It's got its own little charm. It's just a bit
stuck in my memory.
Yes,
you know, it's one that stuck around with me. I mean, I remember it maybe because it's the one that after Adric died and the one where, you know, we lost Tegan.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it stuck with me. But you know, when you said, we're talking about Time Flight, I was like, oh yeah, I remember. As soon as I looked at a picture of it on the internet, I was like, oh yes, it's that one.
It certainly had that impact on me when I watched it, because I was a massive fan of Tegan. I was absolutely gutted that I thought she'd gone, so I wrote to her. So, yeah, you're right.
Did you get a reply?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, he wrote to Tegan, and this weird woman called Janet Fielding replied.
Shut up, Rhys. It was Janet Fielding I wrote to, but she sent me a picture of Tegan and signed, thank you for your letter. I got a letter from her saying thank you for your letter, and it said, yes, I return. Or P.S. Yay. I return, or something like that.
Yes, I will visit you at your bedroom.
Spoilers.
Don't be rude. But yes, Ben, it's a really weird one, because you know, you sometimes you can watch it and be slightly embarrassed by certain elements
Special effects.
Yeah, but it was also difficult. Again, it's come off the back of a really good story in Earthshock, and that happens so often in Doctor Who. You get an absolute, you know, bangingly good story followed by an absolutely appalling one. And I've always wondered
Case of Androzani, Dilemma.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's a classic.
The Twin Dilemma is just bad.
Stephen Moffat's 3 series.
I wouldn't quite go
when
that far.
When did the bad story come along? Are you talking about now that Chibnall's taken over?
Even though Chibnall, he's not the best, but I'd say that there's been some cracking stories in that first
series. Not.
Three cracking stories in that series. So
I did love Kabam.
There's some good ones, but there's some three cracking stories in series 11. But there's some good ones in that, and there are a couple of really bad ones. But it seems like I say that seems to be. I don't know if it's
season 5 too.
The showrunners have been told, well, Doctor Who has this format. You've got to do a really really good one followed by a really really appalling one, not a really really good one followed by another really really good one, and so forth.
It was an end of season one though, wasn't it?
This one.
Yeah, it was the last one of the series. Yeah, it was a cliffhanger to see if Tegan came back. Simple as that.
And it worked on you.
Yeah, it did. Well, I love Doctor Who. And this didn't stop me loving Doctor Who. And even at the time, I thought it was a bit weird and a bit sort of not quite as good as the previous one. But I still was totally mesmerised by what it was, because it was Doctor Who and Concords in prehistoric times. And some of the special effects I tried to use was well worth a try. Sometimes they didn't come off, sometimes they did. For the first time and only time, I didn't twig that it was Anthony Ainley. I just thought, oh, this was a weird, this weird creature. I didn't catch the voice.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
I think, obviously, in hindsight, when you know it's Ainley to start off with, you do pick up on certain, the way he sort of, pronounces things.
Mannerisms, body language.
And it was a bit silly why he was dressed up in that costume. There's no one else around. But apparently there was all these other, crew members that he'd hit.
He was just getting in the role, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's
like Method Batman. Acting. Why does Batman still talk with a gravelly voice to Alfred? Who he is.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel a bit ashamed quite liking it.
I'll give away my entire way that I've lived my life forever.
Like I say, I feel a bit ashamed that I quite like it. So, as Ben's here, what did you think?
Ashamed.
Of, ashamed, yes. Why do I quite like it? Because people hate it and think it's rubbish, but I quite like it. It's not the best.
People hate Stephen Moffat and think he's rubbish.
You've got to be a man of your own opinions.
I love Doctor Who, Ben. It's difficult for me. It's difficult for me to not like stories. I don't know why I bother doing a podcast, actually, because I think really deep down I like all of them. There's some I prefer watching to others. But there you go. Anyway, exactly. So what did you think of it, Ben? What did you think of Time Flight from what you can remember?
Going back a while now.
It was all right.
Yes.
I knew you'd say that.
Get in.
You set them up, Adam. I'll knock them out of the park. That's the way we do it.
People who listen to older episodes of the show, people who have listened to the show right from the early days will be thinking we've accidentally reposted an episode from about 5 years ago. Especially with the technical issues.
That's what she said.
Okay, thank you, Ben. That's a sort of quick juvenile segment that we need for summing up the. I'm just going to close the window down. Wish me luck. Right. So, Robert, what did you think?
Yeah, I loved it. I saw it a long time ago, but when the DVD came out, I saw it again, and then I rewatched it for this, obviously. But I'm with you. But I wouldn't say I'm ashamed by it or. So, you know, it is what it is, and they did the best that they could with what they had available. But, you know, as I say, there's some silly things about it, but, you know, you can overlook that.
There's always silly things.
It's the sort of episode only a Doctor Who fan would actually really like. If you're not a Doctor Who fan, you'd think this is absolute rubbish. And there's so many.
I can't understand why the people hate it so much.
Well, people that aren't Doctor Who fans probably would think, well, what do you watch this rubbish for, you know?
Well, no. This one came out in 2009, the Mighty 200 list. This one came out 196 of 200.
Yeah, but was that voted by normal viewers or Doctor Who fans?
Doctor Who
fans.
Well, that's
fans.
My point. My point is that Doctor Who fans will like it.
That's in the DWM, isn't it? The Doctor Who magazine.
Yeah, but it was 200. The season 19 poll for DWN placed people like this one fourth best of the season.
Fourth best out of six episodes. Whoa! Brilliant.
Well, no, the thing is that better than Castrovalva was first, Fortitude State, and Kinda than this one.
I'm surprised Castrovalva was first. I would have thought Earthshock would be first, to be fair.
And for some
Kinda's
reason,
very good.
Earthshock was less liked than this one. Time that it was shown.
Okay, well, that's okay then. Maybe because people love Concord. Perhaps that's why.
You're going to go up to Manchester and visit this particular Concord?
No. Funny enough, Kirby, no. Have you finished with your views?
Did you know, I hear something interesting trivia? Peter Davison, he was annoyed. Actually, all the crew were annoyed that they didn't get to go on the actual Concorde flight. But Peter Davison said one time, he said he won some tickets, and they were like overbooked. So they said, "Oh, do you want to come and sit with the cockpit for us?" So from London to New York, I think they were.
Yeah.
He was sitting in the cockpit for the flight.
In the very same seat that he was being filmed in.
Yeah. Huh. So I thought that was pretty cool. Lucky guy.
The opposite flight that the first plane was taking, the opposite direction.
And he was annoyed that everybody just wanted to talk about All Creatures Great and Small.
Yeah.
I'm a doctor now.
Anyway, back to this blimmin' episode. Who have you done your bit, Kirby?
Yeah.
No, I haven't done my bit.
Well, carry on then. Oh,
that's what she said.
Okay. Number one, this is the first time I ever saw it, just about a week ago, and I was not looking forward to it because I had heard that it's one of the worst stories ever.
And I really
enjoyed
it.
I don't understand what the objections are. I mean, yeah, it had some silly spots, but it wasn't bad at all. I've seen far worse, classic and modern.
Yeah,
far worse.
It did lack in a bit of budget, didn't it, in regards to the special
budget
effect.
Problem. And yeah, I could.
Doctor Who has always been like that, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I could
get pedantic about some things, but no, I'm Please trying don't. To be less pedantic, particularly about
what?
Classic Who.
Okay.
Cool.
So you liked it, Kirby?
Yes, I liked it.
Okay.
Anything else?
You know, I'm losing the plot so much, I've forgotten. We've had Ben, we've had Kirby. Have we had you, Robert? Hey,
there's Mary and Reese. Mary
we had
Reese.
Robert. It's Reese and Mary. So Reese, then Mary.
I know why he's doing that.
Yeah.
Because we already have an idea.
Have we had Robert?
Yes.
Robert's, yes. But,
I'm in the same boat as Kirby. This is the first time I saw it. And I also really liked it. Maybe it's because I hadn't heard that it's. I didn't realize that it's considered one of the worst, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought most of the ideas were really sound and really worked. Like the silliest bit was actually the master. He's the most pantomime in this that I've ever seen him, I think. Actually, no.
Ideal for the time of year.
TV movie. The TV movie was pretty bad. The version of the master there. Eric Roberts played it well, but it wasn't well written. It wasn't even the master. I loved all the little things like Adric appearing, the hologram of Adric, and then the Pterolectyl and the Melka. Even though I hadn't seen the Melka, it was explained enough to know that it was an emotional impact on Nyssa, and it was all meant to kind of throw her off course to stop her from reaching.
Go back and watch that one if you haven't seen that
one.
Yeah. I'll try to. I thoroughly enjoyed Captain Stapley, and it's very sad that Richard Easton passed away recently, actually. About a week ago, yeah. But he was very, very good. I liked the way actually all three of them accepted what was going on and then accepted that the Doctor is kind of the expert here, so we should listen to what he says. And that doesn't happen enough in Doctor Who. I think it either people need to start listening to the Doctor more, or like in Planet of the Dead, where the bus driver didn't want to and tried to walk back through the portal and then died because of it, proving the point that everyone else had to listen to the Doctor.
Yeah.
That sort of thing has to happen more often in Doctor Who, and I liked that this started to happen, and I liked that they're very resourceful characters.
Yeah, that only happened so that 10, that's how they say it these days, could say, I'm so sorry.
Yes, exactly.
You should have said that to his face yesterday.
That he's sorry. I'm sorry I don't have your screwdriver.
Oh, we'll talk about the Wales Comic-Con later.
Are you talking about David Tennant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I didn't realise he was Indian.
That's just funny. His teeth.
Right,
he's also very, very skinny.
He's very skinny, but yeah. It's not that skinny. Actually, excuse me. You're just trying to say what you're trying to say is I'm just very, very fat.
Oh, that's rude.
Well, that's what he's trying
I
to
think
say.
The kids call that a burn.
That's what he's trying to say.
I know the reason why Robert's going to have a procedure next week.
Anyway, where did we get up to?
Well, I'm
sorry, Reese. Carry on.
Just wrapping up my thoughts. That's all right. I think possibly the weakest
parcel.
Oh, what?
Wrapping them up in a parcel.
Oh yeah, for Christmas. I'm going to send it with a Christmas card. I thought that. I think the master part kind of let it down for me. Unfortunately, I like the master as a character, but I just think it would have been more interesting if Khalid had actually been an alien creature that was there.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Just been a
but
conflict
that's how it was
between
meant to be in the original,
Khalid and the Xerophins. I don't know. Just and nothing against Anthony Ainley. I thought his performance as Khalid and the master was good, but I just figured they were shoehorning the master in there, maybe because it was the end of a season at that point.
Well, that's exactly what it was.
Probably contractual or something.
It was.
Oh, it was, as Mary said, actually, yeah. And I think it showed. But other than that, I thought it was good. I loved the flight crew. They were all very resourceful, maybe to the detriment of the companions once again. Even though there are two now, not three, there were maybe too many companions, and they kind of treated the flight crew as companions to the point where I wanted Stapley to become a companion, to be honest. He was very good, very loyal to the Doctor, and pretty quickly too. But he, as I said before, he saw that there's a whole lot of weird alien stuff going on and time travel, but this guy knows what he's talking about, so I'm going to listen to him and probably survive it. It's the wisest thing to do. And I enjoyed that. The characters really drove the story forward, and I like the story.
Cool. Thank you, Reese.
You're welcome.
Okay, listeners, brace yourselves.
I'm afraid before Mary launches into a tirade of words. I'm going to have to dip out. It's just gone 9 o'clock and I'm being called by the wife. So I'm afraid I have to go in. But it's been a pleasure.
It would be nice to hear from you for 5 seconds, Ben.
Yeah. We spent most of this podcast getting you on the show.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
I know.
And in 10 minutes, you're getting off.
It's actually been 42 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, but we've only had 5 seconds of you actually speaking.
And we'll be recording for about 8 minutes of that.
Hope your gums settle down.
Thanks, man. I've got my teeth back in there so I can talk proper and like.
Anyway, we're going to give you a task in the new year to watch a Doctor Who episode containing a certain.
Not going
to
happen. Not
okay.
Not until Doctor Who has to stand up to go to the toilet. Am I going to watch it again?
Well, she might have a she-wee. You don't know, do you? She's Time Lord. You don't know how they go to the toilet. Anyway.
Exactly. I'm not talking about using a she-wee.
I was about to say.
Okay. Thank you, Ben.
So, thank you very much. I shall piss... No, hold on. you can edit that out. I shall press the big red button that says goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Mary.
Oh, where do I begin?
Here we go.
This whole thing, to me, just came across as a bit of a mess. There are like time-wasting scenes, so many things that don't make sense. Part of it, to me, is kind of explained by the fact that they did have to shoehorn Anthony Alien, you know, instead of going with the main idea of the Khalid being the wonderful alien creature, you know, that Reese longed for. And I kind of did, too. he lost all of his mystery and excitement when he became the master. I am going to read a very short little paragraph from the book that I use as a reference to kind of give me a feel for what Doctor Who, how it was in the time and what the influences on her and all that. The book is called About Time. Authors are Lawrence Miles and Tat Wood. And this is what he says. He says, nobody has a good word to say for this story, it seems. Mm. The director didn't understand the script. The writer hated the way it looked. The cast ridiculed it. The production team was disappointed. And the viewing public switched off, despite the publicity blitz and inherited buzz from Earthshock. And to find out, you know, that Davison and Ainley were having a good time just trying to make each other laugh on camera.
Had a good time, actually.
Yeah, they all had a good time. And the extras all acted like they were at a party instead of in a real, story of any kind. They didn't contribute. They kind of took away from some of the dramatic impact that could have been there. So just overall, I found myself, you know, being distracted by other things while watching it, even though I didn't watch it all in one go. So, I would put this pretty much at the bottom of my list of things that I would, like. So there you go.
Well, why am I not surprised?
In
a way, it's the first time, Mary.
Earthshock, a whole lot better.
Mary, this is the first time
I've had.
Right, I'm going to tell you off for interrupting me. Right, where's the all of you interrupting me? So that gets a
woohoo.
Right,
master.
Even you, I'm trying to ask. Right, carry on.
This was the first episode of this story. Was the highest number of the biggest audience for any of JNT's stories.
Well, that's because Earthshock came before it, and everybody tuned in, but then the viewing figures dropped precipitously after the first episode. Yeah.
Say that again?
Please don't say it again.
You know, that's interesting, though, because I'd like to check the viewing figures for this versus the Five Doctors, because I would have thought The Five Doctors was very, very popular. So maybe my source is incorrect.
Should try
HP. Anyway,
I know actually what the viewing figures were. I just read that, you know, so many people tuned in because of Earthshock. They all were turning it off after that.
Is my bloody audio not working?
Oh, it's working. We've just been waiting for a chance to talk.
I just wanted to say, this is the first time I've actually found Mary not liking the story useful to the podcast. Oh, no, not in a bad way. But Mary's sort of, her views of the story are more of what I've heard people say about it. Now, you lot and me and everything, obviously, we're, you know, everybody other than Mary is obviously... I don't know, something wrong with us, I think.
I wonder if Mary would have thought different if she'd grown up with it, though, you know, when it came out and she was young enough. I don't know.
Well, she's not that young now. She's only 23, 24, isn't she, Mary?
Yeah, I'm kind of in Adam's boat. You know what I mean? I love it all because it's all Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have my rankings of, you know, favorites to least favorites.
I don't rank, though. I mean, I just...
Yeah, I don't either.
Well, I mean, not you know, specifically.
Oh, we do rank just for a bit of fun, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you prefer some stories to rank.
You forced us to rank before, so
yeah, and I'll do it again. Don't you worry.
That's true.
But you have some that are your natural favorites straight away, and then some that you kind of like, and then ones you wouldn't bother with watching again, like Curse of the Bad Plot. There you go.
I said it for you.
I like that one. Hey, Kirby.
I like it too. But
yeah.
Adam's going to ask us now, just because we finished off this season, he's going to ask us to rank
them.
No,
I'm not. No, I'm not.
I was thinking about that. Out of the ones I've seen.
The Five Doctors had 7.7 million, and the first episode of Time Flight had 10 million. That's interesting.
No, it isn't. Shut up. Right. Let's try and get the podcast back on track.
I've got some fun lines that I picked up on as well from...
Yes.
From the episode, I liked the bit where Professor Hayter was taking a long time to believe what was going on, and he thought they were in Siberia and stuff like that. And when the doctor explains about the plasmatons or whatever they were, he goes, "What a ridiculous explanation," and something like that. And he goes, "Scientifically speaking," and the doctor interrupts and says, "Scientifically speaking, I think we should find the others," and then just walks off, which I thought was hilarious. And then every time the doctor explained that there was an exponential time contour, everyone else was giving it different names, like a time warp or a time slip. And when I heard that, I just thought of, with a bit of a mind slip, you're into the time slip.
And nothing can ever be the same.
Obviously deliberately put in.
What was that?
That was all that the reference to Rocky Horrors, obviously deliberately put in, like the double entendre, as I would suggest.
Oh, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
And then one quote, I actually said it to the others earlier during the hour of technical... hitches that we had. The master thinks the doctor is trying to be devious and ruin his plan, but it was really Stapley who'd swapped all the devices around. So he said, "Devious to the last, doctor," and the doctor's confused and just says, "Technical hitch?" And that just sums up this episode perfectly.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. I'm trying to find Mary. What's your name? Mary Lang. M-A-R-Y. Oh, there you are. Right, now it's time for some feedback.
That's what I need to know.
Oh dear. Right then. So I would say my computer has sort of seems to be okay now. I think it was where I had to reboot it. It lost Bit Adobe cash. Creative Cloud, and because it had to then rebuild it, and I think it was all part and parcel of a memory buffer issue. Which seems to be smoothing itself out now. I said yes to the question, would you like to rebuild the
Creative Cloud?
Now
it's all working fine.
I'm not edging my bets. It's been all right for a bit. I've lost all my Google tabs, though, so all my websites I had open that I was going to, you know, like
the
photo.
Yeah, but can't you restore them when you...
if I'd said yes to it, I thought I was really taking a chance. Basically, it was the Wales Comic Con photo ops page. I was just looking through pictures that I could download in high resolution for publishing on.
So when
websites.
Are you going to tell us about the convention? And when is Mary going to tell us about her convention?
Comic Con.
Yeah, well, one step at a time. But first of all, Mary's going to read out some lovely blurb from a Mr. Alan T. Butcher.
Yeah, this T. Butcher. One of our Concords is missing. Let's lose another, or is Oriental green face really any more acceptable? Okay, I'm sorry, I'll say that. Or is Oriental green face really any more acceptable? Okay, dear 20 megabiters, Time flight is, of course, a closely studied exposition of the use of misdirection and the installation of delusions being used by a malignant actor to achieve a not entirely clear result for decidedly ambiguous reasons in a way which seems to indulge in unnecessarily extreme forms of deceit and cover-ups.
He's leaving out punctuation deliberately there, Mary. You've noticed this.
As such, it may well be some sort of thinly veiled attack on those who promoted Brexit. But to be honest, I'm not sure anyone will ever be able to find the motivation to really get to the crux of what the story is saying, since it could be suggested that it is not doing very much all that well. It should be noted that whilst some suggest this story is poor, both from the point of view of the production's shortcomings and having a fundamentally flawed story, in fact, it is fairly dull, too, but at least they seem to have enjoyed making it, so somebody got something out of it, even if it wasn't the viewers. Well said, Alan.
Mary, aren't you meant to be reading Alan's feedback, not just reiterating what you already said? Yeah.
Well said, Alan. Well said.
We also learned
that Philip Ashton of Liverpool-based TV program A Family at War did not, in fact, die in Berlin just after the Second World War as a result of encountering an unexploded British bomb in an empty building whilst helping destitute Germans after all. In fact, he went on to be a flight engineer in the early 1980s, or was that the 1990s, after changing his name to Scobie. Also, First Officer Bilston went on after a short period, pretending to be an actor in EastEnders to become a Labour member of the European Parliament in the late 1990s. Or was that the early 2000s?
That's the one you were talking about, Adam.
Probably.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All in all, Time Flight is a subpar season finale for a broadly credible sense of stories which have introduced us to a new sort of Doctor, less interesting and less brilliant, but nonetheless very likable. The cast here is generally good, and there are elements of the story which to work, such as a similar setup to the Time Warrior with captured passengers and a professor who is avoiding control. However, there is a great deal that does not work or make a blind bit of sense. Coupled with poor visuals and wildly illogical design, the whole season finally runs out of steam despite the story being based on some of the biggest jet engines that ever existed. It is, however, perhaps Adric's most accomplished story in the season. Perhaps four episodes too long, since if these episodes have been allocated to tell a good story with the exact same cast, then we can hypothesize quite confidently that even on a very tight budget, it would have been preferable. Next up, Doctor Who in the Good Old Days on Gallifrey, or It's the End, but the moment has been prepared for in Greek. Those are my thoughts. Alan T. Butcher.
Not for a few months.
Very good. Yeah, not for a few months indeed.
Yeah, for a few months, yeah.
Not for a few months.
I like that four episodes too long.
Yeah, that's harsh. So is the Adric line. But thank you, Alan, for the feedback. It actually reminded me of a few things. I thought Bilton had the hots for Tegan because she was the one that kind of – the mention of her got him out of the trance and the you know, the mind control.
Yeah, I got that as well, Reece.
And then – what else was there? There was it felt like the God Complex and the Time of the Doctor with those holograms of the previous monsters and Adric and stuff like that. Because in the God Complex, you're getting everyone's nightmares coming true. Right.
Yeah.
And then Time of the Doctor had all these
different
monsters.
And that's even a bit like Mind of Evil as well. In Pertwee's time,
I'll
they had
take your word for that.
Okay, you haven't seen that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one, yeah. But it felt like stuff like that. Even the End of Time with the – it was a bit forced in End of Time, but the cantina scene with all the RTD monsters that appeared.
Yeah.
I kind of like that sort of thing. And that actually felt more like a – that made it feel like a season finale for me because in New Who they like doing that a fair bit because the Big Bang and the Pandora Opens also had that. So Alan's mentioning of that reminded me of that. I thought that was pretty good. He obviously didn't think too much of it, but that's okay. It's a democratic system, this podcasting thing.
Is it?
More adventures.
Is it?
Yeah, everyone's got different opinions.
Oh, so we have more. Sorry, don't we? More feedback. Sorry. In which case, we have to play this.
Evidence.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Last week, I should have said that the freighter hitting the Earth 65 million years ago was a blast from the past. Time flies, mate. Peter Grimwade. The TARDIS is Jurassic Parked. Shawash Harum. Has the Master gone start raving mad? Professor Hayter is fighting against the Master. Hayter's got a hate. The University of Teesside was created in 1992 at Darlington. But there was no university for Hayter to be a professor of in 1982, nor in the Jurassic period. Mm-hmm. How do the passengers board the Concorde without a set of stairs?
Yeah. Said.
Now Tegan isn't Heathrow. She does not like it. Still, who does? A decent story, without the Master's pantomime disguise. Good possessed acting from Sarah Sutton. I found several Doctor Who episodes on an old hard disk, including this story.
Much
so
lucky.
I didn't have to use that website this week. Bye for now.
That website.
Yes, thank you very much, Ian. Now, obviously, if people listen to the show, we didn't put a live feed on, but it turns out it would have been a complete disaster to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe it's profitable, not for profiterole. Oh, never mind. I'm funny words. But yeah, so that's essentially is it. Well, I haven't got anything come through on. Oh, have we? No, nothing's come through on the Facebook request. Oh, Laurie Nick, sadly, I'll be working at the time. That's nothing to do with feedback, though, is it? Mm. Jeff Waddle, it's to the classic era exactly what Nightmare in Silver is to the new era. The biggest lot of absolute dross it's ever been my misfortune to see. There you go. That's about it, really.
I disagree on both.
A little bit on the where I said no live feed.
Okay, no live feed.
Yeah.
Is there where? I just got Lillian Robbins saying, or... Reese Parton saying something or other, and Alan T. Butcher saying
maybe
something.
Maybe scroll up or something.
No, yeah. I haven't got anything else. There's four comments.
Well, Alan T. Butcher said the story's so bad, the podcast will need to be edited before it's public consumption.
It needs to be edited, but not necessarily because the story's so bad.
Yeah, I said basically that.
Reese said nothing to do with the quality of the story, but it's becoming more and more of a reality, technical issues. Yes. And Alan T. Butcher said, notwithstanding the failure of the live feed, which is understood to be a result of time differential asserting itself in the 1950s period, Isle of Wight, and 2020 period, mainland UK.
Yeah, right. Thank you for that. I will allow you, Kirby, I will allow you to explain before the show goes out as to further technical issues we really did have. Or maybe it was tempting fate. recording the show. Right. And I'm really grateful for you guys hanging around and sticking with it because it would have been a disaster to have to redo it. Right then, Doctor Who news. Yes, that's really weird. I'm being nice. I'm being nice to my co-presenters. No, do news first. I'm just saying it's very unusual for our listeners. I'll tell you something else that happened before we move on to news. Before I forget it, I had a text off Alicia. Do you remember her? Best because this is a bit of a throwback episode.
This is your daughter.
This is the text I got from Alicia today. Mm. Hang on, where is it? It says, there's a picture of a TV screen.
I watched Doctor Who today.
Be quiet. It's a picture of a TV screen with the as part of the Doctor Who title sequence on it with the look what Kyle wanted to binge watch. Kyle is her boyfriend who, I've looked on his timeline, has got Doctor Who as one of his four TV series that he follows. So there you go. Hey. She's very influenced by the men in her life. So when her previous boyfriend was into cricket and F1, that's all she wouldn't go anywhere near Doctor Who. Now her current boyfriend likes Doctor Who, so she decided she likes Doctor Who again.
Wow,
that's not a Doctor Who fan for me. That's a don't know what it is, but it's not a Doctor Who fan. Anyway, but it's just nice that Alicia's watching some
Doctor Who. Does she even remember that she used to be on the podcast?
She'd only be willing to accept that if Kyle listened to some of the old episodes when she was 15, 16, whatever, and liked them. Ooh. But I think she'd probably, she would not really like him to hear them, despite the fact that she is very good on those episodes. Pain in the ass, but very good. Right,
especially
then.
She did like Asylum her feedback on stuff. I remember she was excellent on that one.
She was what, sorry?
She was excellent on the Asylum of the Daleks episode we did. She kept us on track.
Yeah.
Oh, did she? That's good. Anyway, right, so Radio Times has got a lovely picture of the current cast of Doctor Who, looking very excited, opening up a box containing something brightly lit. So it's obviously that is the new series, with also a flash along the top saying Glenda Jackson back on TV after 27 years. And just at that point, my computer decides to freeze again. But I can still read the next one down that says Spyfall. The 13th Doctor is in her TARDIS on her way back to BBC One for a thrilling 10-part series. Does that include the New Year's one?
I think it includes the New Year's one, doesn't it?
That's terrible. It's getting shorter and shorter.
Isn't it a two-parter, the New Year's one?
Yeah, this isn't a special. The New Year's one isn't necessarily a special.
Yeah, it's the first one of the series. But that means there's only 10 episodes.
Hold on. I do think there's going to be a Christmas special, though.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, that's at the end of...
Yeah, yeah, the end of 2020, yeah. But anyway, so a thrilling 10-part series, which is, I'm still quite pleased we've got a series. I'd rather it be 13, but there you go. Which will land on New Year's Day 2020. Now, the bad news for you guys is the series is on there generally on Sunday evenings again.
So, fine by me.
Well, it's a bit awkward because it means we can't do... We delay the podcast long enough for the episode to go out and then digest it enough to talk about it. It's very, very awkward.
We've done that before.
Yeah. Well, last year we did it a week behind, didn't we?
So we did it a week behind this time, too.
We might have to do that, depending on what time.
We used to be up against other podcasts kind of in competition to be among the first to get our review out, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah, that's not why we used to do it. It was just... It depends what time the episode's on, doesn't it? If it's on at 6, we could essentially talk about it at 7. But if it's on, 6:30, it's going to be...
Some of us.
Honestly, it doesn't matter about you lot.
Well, if you want us to partake in the episode, it does.
We've been told.
Oh, it's bloody crashed again. Oh, sorry, frozen again. I spoke too soon, saying, "Oh, it's all
Frozen
right."
Frozen 2
now.
Has it just come out.
Shouldn't have said anything.
I shouldn't have said anything. That's right. And there's a release, a Series 12 release date trailer, which I think we talked about last time.
Is there an interview one out already?
Pardon? But we still don't know what time of day they're going to be showing
it,
right?
No, we don't indeed. So that's all up in the air.
We don't even know what day is going to air in Australia. It's most likely going to be Monday because it's Sunday.
Exactly. I'll post something for you guys.
A what? Pardon?
No, sorry, I just...
Right then, moving on... Sorry?
I'll show you something.
Can you show me something? How are you going to do that?
Woo!
Oh. It's not my wand. No, I'll put it in the Facebook chat.
Okay.
So you...
But while you're doing that, Robert...
Okay, it's in there now. It's a link.
Yeah, thank you. What to expect in Series 12 video has just come out. Yeah.
I just started watching
everybody, I'm playing it for you, you naughty people. Listen.
More adventures.
I think there'll be lots of exciting things to come.
New creepy creatures.
Even bigger and better than ever before.
Some familiar foes and enemies. And the gang again.
The name's Doctor. The Doctor.
The security of this entire planet is at stake.
Can we rely upon you?
It's got action, it's got scares, it's got humour, it's got warmth.
It's fun, it's exciting, it's escapist, it's positive.
And it's got a TARDIS.
I'm not where I wanted to be, but I can work with this.
From John Cole.
What? I don't suppose you've seen anything weird around here.
You know, these historical episodes, these futuristic episodes. So I think that mixture again is going to work really well, but I think we're on a different scale now.
It's exciting. It's diverse, it's extraordinary, it's well told, and historically factual, apart from the alien bit.
You believe this is alien?
What's the plan?
You trust me, don't you?
Have I got to answer that?
Where are we?
Paris, 1943.
Oh, no.
What this season is about the individual characters going on their own journey, and particularly for the Doctor, it's a series about self-discovery.
We're going to see the 13th Doctor really tested.
Something's coming for me. I can feel it.
Let it come.
happens when you miss?
Family.
I think this is the first time we kind of really see her as the new Doctor, really unsure and really trying to make decisions, and the pressure's getting to her and how it affects the relationship of the group and stuff like that.
It was exciting to revisit certain relationships, but also to have new ones as well, with new and old foes. Get away from them!
I didn't know things could get into the TARDIS.
Neither did I.
What have you brought here, Doctor?
I don't know.
Who a New Year's Day.
Don't forget to click below.
Oh, shut up. Yeah, so there we go. That's the...
I can't tell her that.
We'll have a look at what you posted in our thingy-ding later on, Robert, I'm afraid, because I'm going to... That's the end of news, by the way, I think. I just make sure I'm right. Yeah. Candy Christmas, don't want to talk about that. And Doctor Infinity game was talked about last week. So now we can talk about conventions. Bagsy, I go Master. First, Mary.
Master.
Oh, what now?
Mary was asking like a question. I've got the answer. BBC America will show the story, I guess, in all both parts at 8 p.m. on New Year's Day.
Both parts? Actually,
the plan is the first part's going to be on New Year's Day.
Oh, okay.
The next part will be on the following Sunday. So okay. Not a whole week afterwards, which I quite like.
Yeah, it's like 4 or 5 days, isn't it?
So okay. Well, the good thing about the fact it's that the New Year's Day one, we can talk about that essentially on that the Sunday, but then we might have to wait a week before we pick up the rest of the series, depending on what time of day it goes.
I don't have any problem with that.
Goody. Right, can you all see me?
Yeah.
Good. Right, then we can talk. I'm going to Bagsy go first about talking about Wales Comic Con, because I've got a bit of a story to tell before we...
Well, I don't think Mary's going to talk about Wales
Mary does
Comic-Con
a better job of talking about Chicago TARDIS. Right then, so we left on Friday. I finished work, midday job, and we caught the ferry and headed off up to Warwick, because we were doing a thing where we drive 2 hours to Warwick, so we then got an hour's drive to Telford, so we haven't got like a 4-hour drive now. It's quite tiring.
Is that in Wales?
So we just what? Anyway, so we drove to Warwick.
You land Fairfax?
And stayed at a lovely Premier Inn. It was only £35. It was a really nice Premier Inn. Anyway, so we drove up there and we got there about 8:30, something like that. And we're all really hungry because we hadn't had any dinner, because Deb didn't want to get anything on the boat, even though we all did. But Deb just said, didn't want anything on the boat because I don't want to get heartburn or anything. Anyway, so we decided
like
to go. She decided we'd get something when we got there. So we parked up, got everything in this hotel, and I was sent out to try and find a McDonald's. I would have preferred to have gone to the restaurant where it's actually inside the hotel. But because Isabella insisted on the McDonald's, me and her went out. Anyway, so I was driving down this road, got to the end of this very... Well, the Google said McDonald's was at a specific spot, which it wasn't. And I thought, I must be around the corner then. So I drove to the end of this little road, and I was looking, is there a right turn here? I was looking for some signage to sort of enlighten me as to whether I could turn right or not. Anyway, I got to the end of the junction, thought, well, this is a giveaway. This is one-way street, so I'll turn right. And just as I started turning right, a car started overtaking me at the junction and hit the side of the car, which led to me being breathalyzed and this woman jumping out of the car and swearing at me and saying her poor child had hurt her shoulder and stuff like that. Yet, a few minutes later, we saw that same poor child at the window smiling at me with a big, broad, cheesy smile. And the other child in the car was fast asleep, hadn't even noticed there'd been a prank. So anyway, the police eventually turned up. I got breathalyzed and we all went off, and I got a slight dent in my car and played on my mind a little bit because I didn't get much sleep that night. Back, got told off by Deb for... you shouldn't be driving anymore. Your driving's getting worse as well. Good. Drive then.
That's a
fine.
Typical woman,
I don't deny that. New drive.
Typical wife, I should say.
But yeah, but it wasn't fun. Anyway, so I went to bed, didn't get much sleep because it was playing on my mind. Then we got up about 7, drove up to Telford, got there about 9. Queues were horrendous. There was thousands, literally thousands of people waiting to get in. There were people that had priority entry. We were on the general entry going at 11. But my photo op with Alex Kingston was at 10:30. So how is this going to work? We go in at 11 for a photo op that's finished. So anyway, I asked one of their crew guys. So all the Alex Kingston photo op people got in at 10:30, so went straight in to do the photo op. So we were in, that's fine. But we spent the whole day essentially queuing for stuff. The worst part of the queuing was when Deb wanted to meet Aidan Turner, who he wasn't supposed to be there on the Saturday, but last minute they decided he would do 3 hours on Saturday and 3 hours on Sunday because of filming commitments. And he was supposed to turn up. Everybody queued for him at 12. He didn't turn up till about 1. So we're in the queue for an hour waiting for him to turn up, followed by another hour waiting to actually go up to meet him. And that in that time, so Deb was desperate that I was going to get a picture of her with him, but you weren't allowed to take pictures. In the end, I had to go off and do to a photo op. So we didn't get any food that time simply because of waiting for Aidan Blimmin' Turner. Wow. Isabella went off to meet Alex Utgoff. And that bloke who played Shazam, can't remember his name, and a few other of people she wanted to meet. Pardon?
The guy in the red
Zachary
suit.
Zachary Levi. Yeah, she went off to meet him and a few people from other these weird things she watches on Netflix. She'd be able to tell you, but she's in bed. But she thoroughly enjoyed meeting these people. There's a bloke who had a blue head and what was his name now? In one of the things she likes, she got that something signed by him. She met that chap that was in
Blue Head.
Vicious. Pardon?
Blue Head.
No.
Thorian.
Pardon?
Yeah.
You know, Thorian. There's a chap.
Moldova.
Have you heard of a
Simon
TV?
Simon Fisher-Becker.
No. Have you heard of a TV series called Vicious with Ian McKellen and Derek?
Yeah.
Jacobi?
Yes.
The young flatmate, not the flatmate, the one the lad who lives in the other flat. Is a chap called Ewan.
Oh, him. Okay.
He's been in loads of stuff, and I think he's in American Horror Story or what's the other thing? Misfits or something like that, which Isabella loves. So she was particularly thrilled about meeting him, and I got some videos.
Isabella loves American Horror Story.
Yeah, she loves American Horror Story. She's mad about it. But there were some actors in that she met at the thing, but I was more interested in what I was trying to meet. So we did Alex Kingston, not in the biblical sense. She was lovely, nuts. she did hundreds of photos, but she did a specific pose.
I'm glad you clarified that.
she did a specific pose for every single every single person she was with. She was fantastic.
She's perfect.
So we did her. I can't even remember the order of in which we did the shoots. But I've got the pictures here. I've shown this is the Alex Kingston one here, which I'm just going to show you if you can see it. Now, I said, I've got this prop for you. It's and she, we can do something with that. So it was her idea that we all held the scarf in the fashion that she's got there.
You'll be popping those as well.
Oh dear, I've just knocked over my recording device. Oh, it's still recording. So that was quite good fun. Then we met a woman, I don't know if you've heard of her, got red hair, Catherine Tate, and she was very nice. And she was with Catherine Tate. That's the light on the screwdriver. Right. Who else did we meet after? Oh, yeah, somebody called Arthur Darville. Have you ever heard
Ratty
of him?
Ratty Barville?
Yeah.
For some reason, he decided to wear a really daft-looking yellow hat. He's wearing scarf in that picture.
Yeah, he was a Chicago TARDIS and he wore that same hat all the time he was there.
Does he ever take it off his head?
I wonder if it's a bet to wear it for all the conventions he does.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, but he's got nice hair, so I don't understand.
Hold on, maybe it's to stand out. If you look different, you stand out.
Oh, we've got a missing one. I've just realised there's a missing photo. There was a missing one. There's a missing photo. Or is there? Maybe it's just got stuck to this one. It has. Right. Okay. Oh, no, it hasn't. Oh, I've got a missing photo. Must be with Isabella's lot. Anyway, hang on. I'm just going to look through this pile. I'm a bit worried about my missing photo because... Oh, here it is. Right, this is a good one. This is one of the last ones we were doing. Now, the story about these ones, we got to the stage of 4:15. See that?
Mm-hmm.
It's Kripke from Big Bang Theory. Here he is, look. Yeah. We got to 4:15, and at 4:15 was Matt Smith, David Tennant, separate. So I had both at the same time, separate photo ops I had to get to. John Thingy Bowie, that bloke from Big Bang Theory, Arthur Darville, and I'm sure there was someone else. And they were all at the same time, and we got to the stage that I was starting to round around the crew. How am I going to get this done? I've paid for these photo ops. I said, okay, well, the Matt Smith and David Tennant one's going to go on for about an hour. Go and do the... John Bowie one, and he was 15 minutes late, so we had to go away and do the Catherine Tate one, I think. Then we had to go back and do the Darville one, and then we got to the Bowie one was the last one. I said, look, it's the Tennant and Matt Smith have been going for 50 minutes, and we've got to do this one. You're saying there's a 20-minute wait. I'm really worried I'm not going to get to see Matt Smith. And so, okay, well, they moved us to the front, got that done, and I literally was the third to last photo op. I don't know. I was the third to last photo op with somebody's phone, obviously.
Not the clock, for sure.
Yeah, that's my phone.
Was it David Tennant? Yeah, so I was the third to last photo op with David Tennant. So if I'd been, like, 2 minutes later, I would have missed the photo op with David Tennant. Absolutely gutted I would have been, but nevertheless I didn't miss it, and there's the picture of me with David Tennant. And when I met him, I went up to him, I said, "Oh, at last, sir." And I shook his hand and we did the picture and off I went. But with Matt Smith, who I met earlier with the autograph, I said to his little helper, "Can I record something instead of an autograph for the podcast?" No, nope. So I had to get him to sign it. I'm not an autograph person. I'm not really interested in autographs, but there he is. He signed my 11th Doctor figure there.
Oh, so. Nice.
Not really interested in that. Don't like autographs. I'm not. What's the point in an autograph? Anybody could have done that squiggle. Do not see the point of autographs. But anyway,
I'm not an autograph person either.
Anything you get, send it my way. I'm happy with that.
But anyway, when it was quite a short queue for the autograph because I got it late in the day, so I went up when I met him and I said, "Well, can you sign that?" And I went to shake his hand. He said, no, do fist pump. Yeah, fist pump. So we did that fist pump. I noticed that anybody went up to him for a handshake had a fist pump. Yeah, fist pump. And he said, where do you want it then? And he started signing on the front and said, "No, one on the side, please." Ah, ha, ha, he said, and off we went.
Basically, he's never stopped acting as the Doctor then.
No, he's just being Matt Smith. The Doctor is Matt Smith. But they were all really nice people, actually. Really nice. And it was a real thrill to meet. But it was really stressful during the day. Looking where you're going to queue next. We didn't get anything to eat at the event, so I was really grumpy. But we had our breakfast at 8 a.m. Shut up. We had our breakfast at 8 a.m. and this by 6 p.m. we hadn't had anything to eat or drink, so we were really thirsty. And I was starting to get a bit, so I went to the car and got a bottle of water, but we still didn't eat anything until much, much later in the evening. I think about 8 p.m. by the time we actually got something to eat, so it was a really, really long time.
Cleaned out the buffet.
Oh, no, it was really difficult. It was tiring. You're on your feet all day.
You must have spent a fortune on all those pictures.
It was a lot of money. Yeah. The Tennant ones.
Because I know what these kind of photographs cost.
£90 for a Matt Smith or David Tennant picture. But they were bought heavily in advance. I did get a picture with, what's his name, from Harry Potter, Neville Longbottom. Yeah, so Matthew Lewis, who plays Neville Longbottom. We did a selfie with him. I'd pay £35 to get my phone to take the picture. Well, the woman that sat next to him took the picture. The good pictures. But we did that. So, and Isabella sort of sponged well over £100 in cash to get some autographs of people she hadn't pre-booked of things she's massive fans of. So it's good for her. She's thrilled a bit. She's met some people that, you know, her idols, especially obviously being Alec Uddgoff, because he was in Stranger Things. He's almost like God, you know. So she had a great time. It was a really good day. It's just we remember lots of queuing, but you've got some lovely photos which we're going to cherish, not necessarily autographs, but I suppose it's something to have, isn't it?
I'll cherish them for you then.
It's frustrating because I wanted to get an autograph with David Tennant, but Deb did want to spend out another £80-90 on a squiggle. But I wanted to get my Funko Pop signed by him if I wasn't allowed to get, which I wasn't, a bumper for the show. But yeah, it was really quite fleeting because you're in a queue, you're in the picture done, gone, and you can say hello and it's a quick hello and you know, you've met them, you've spoken to them very briefly, but it's gone in such a flash, and you're queuing for such a long time. But you do end up with a lovely picture and a lovely sort of cherished memory. But, you know, we were there from 11 till 6, at 7 hours. We spent about half an hour looking around the shoppy areas. No time eating anything. And the day's gone in a flash, and you've been waiting for quite a long time. Not to say I wouldn't do it again, but there was so many stars there. They had
A lot.
Yeah, and we all you could do is just look at them at the distance, thinking, I'd love to meet him. You know, it's like that chap who is, you know, one of the last episodes of last series, a chap was in Full Monty, and he was also in that film with Jack Frost with Michael Keaton. I can't remember his name. Addy, is it? Something else.
Oh, yeah, Mark Addy.
Mark Addy, that's it. He was there, and it wasn't that expensive, £35 or something like that. So it was people like that, which, under normal circumstances, with no ends of money, I'd be going and meeting all of them saying hello. And there were some really, really lovely people who went out of their way to be particularly friendly with people. And there was some really sort of extrovert Americans there. But yeah, it was a really good day. It's just expensive and tiring, you know. And obviously, I drove back home, straight back home from there. It was very tiring. And obviously, a car crashing, and it's just been a hard weekend. So, yeah, that's a bit of any questions about Wales Comic Con before we move on to Mary's probably better story, almost certainly better story about Chicago.
Did you enjoy Wales while you were there?
Shut up! Apparently it's coming back in April, Wales Comic Con. So it's a big venue. They had the British Dance Association champions, world championships.
Ducks,
there
did
at
you
the
say?
Same. Dance. No, dance.
Dance.
Dancers. I should have taken this with me for old Neville Longbottom, shouldn't I?
Robert, it's a dance.
I wish I'd done.
Hey.
Yeah, I didn't do any. I didn't take any pictures of cosplayers there because I didn't have time. Didn't take any pictures.
All you have to do is point a camera and take.
Yeah, but when you're queuing and sort of waiting and queuing and waiting,
just being weird,
there was so many brilliant Doctor Who cosplay. It was just brilliant, best cosplay I've seen. It was humongous, so big. It's definitely bigger than the Doctor Who events I've been to, at the XL, you know, the celebration. And I know it's obviously not just Doctor Who, but it was huge, massive convention. Really good. Yeah, right then, I'm gonna swing my legs round and get comfortable for Mary's story.
Well, I'll try to keep it brief. I haven't had a chance to listen to last week's recording, so were you able to play the recording that Matthew and I sent?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Then I don't
much.
Have to tell you how sweet and humble and shy and all those wonderful things that I can say about Arthur Darvill, because I think I said them on that recording.
I wish I'd known. I should have said, you met my lovely friend Mary, Arthur.
Yeah, you could have asked.
I could have said that.
Actually, and this year I did not decide to invest in photographs. Okay. We didn't have that many guests, and for some reason it was also a very small con, and so there was a lot of discussion.
What guests did you have there, Mary? What guests? I don't know.
Well, we had Arthur Darvill. We had Tamsin Cole. He's in the new series with Jodie Whittaker. And we had the whole cast of Class, which made no impression on me. I don't watch Class.
Well,
I didn't care about that.
I've never bothered.
They have a lot of young people attending, so I think that it made quite an impression on them. But other than that, just some really minor other people. And for doctors, we had Paul McGann and
Mary.
Sylvester McCoy.
So did you propose this time, Mary? Now your relationship's a bit more established.
Sylvester said he was taken.
This time.
No,
yeah,
I'm
this
talking
time.
About McGann.
But the funny thing is, when you show that picture of Arthur Darvill, we were all remarking on, why doesn't he take his hat off? Because he did. He wore that same yellow hat for the entire weekend.
Maybe he shaved his head.
On the I don't know what he's doing. Maybe he's for a part. He's got something going on with his hair. He has to hide
it
us.
Could be it actually.
Yeah, it could be. But the general conversation around the con was, why is this con like smaller and we run into so many people that are kind of falling off the wagon in terms of Doctor Who fandom and all that. Well, the most interesting thing that I attended was a small panel. Which had as a guest, his last name is Russell, I can't remember his first name, who spent
Gary
his...
Gary Russell?
Yeah, no, not Gary Russell. he spent the last, 10 years working with the Doctor Who production, being the brand manager.
Oh, him, yeah.
And he talked about how that it's an industry standard they all plan this way because they know it naturally happens this way, that anything that catches on really goes gangbusters for about 8 years. And after that 8 year mark, then things start to fall off really quickly. You know, like fandom goes away because they're onto something else. Productions of fan materials, you know, the swag and all that, also drop off because they don't expect to have the fans, you know, out there buying it up. So we were trying to count through, just in the group I was in, counting through, and it goes up to the, you know, we counted 8 years from when the series started in 2005, and the 8 years ends with the end of Moffat. And so everything is falling off quite a bit. Anyway, so he had so many interesting stories to tell about working, you know, with David Tennant and working with Matt Smith and Karen and Arthur and all that, you know, what it was like. So that was a fascinating panel to attend. My annoyance all weekend was with Tamsin Cole, who whenever they would do always main stage interviews with him, but he had this annoying habit of holding the microphone right up to his mouth so that his answers were always garbled. And it's what the young people, I think, are doing, because he and Arthur Darvill were on a combined interview where Arthur started doing that too, and eventually he moved his microphone away from his mouth, so we did understand him. But anytime I talked to Tamsin Cole, it was just a bunch of mumbled garbage because everything was right up against, you know, the microphone was right up against his mouth.
Oh, wow.
So, and one of the other interesting things that happened was they showed Angels Take Manhattan, and Arthur Darvill was there to do commentary on it while it went through. And his stories about where different things took place, like the scene, and I'll just say this one scene, you know, where the Statue of Liberty comes right up to them on that rooftop. He said that didn't happen in New York. That was in the car park next to the recording studio.
Yeah, of course it was.
So he was blowing all of our imagery as to where things happened, that the only things that they filmed actually in New York were some of the exteriors. And when they were in the park, you know, when they were running around, three of them running around in the park, and that was it. Everything else was studio bound with CGI and all that.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. And I have pictures. I hope you saw some of the pictures I posted on 20 megabyte of the dinosaur invasion, the dinosaurs looking at.
Yes.
and the Dalek Christmas. They have so many Daleks every year that they form almost like an army of Daleks, and they all come out and arrange themselves around this Christmas tree.
Disco balls and stuff.
All kinds of wonderful things. So I took a picture of the Dalek Christmas out in the lobby too. I have pictures of a bunch of the cosplay that I may get around to posting, but Matthew had his picture taken with Sylvester McCoy, both of them, because McCoy was having his picture taken in his original Seventh Doctor costume.
Oh, brilliant.
So he and Matt, so he got a lot of fun out of, you know, Matthew being dressed like him. When they put out the digital, whenever we have pictures taken at this con, they always post digital copies so that we can, you know, do things with them if we want to. He says when his digital copy comes up, he's going to post it on the 20 megabyte.
Cool.
So, yeah, it really was a good convention. It was a very intimate one because it was smaller than usual.
That's what she said.
Had a good time.
Excellent.
Thank you, Mary.
But you're talking about that grand manager. That's the kind of stuff that I like, behind-the-scenes stuff. That
Me too.
Rather than just actors talking about, we did this and whatever, you know.
Edward Russell was here at the last Atlanta as well.
Okay. Yeah, Edward Russell. That is his name. Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Interesting guy. Very interesting to talk with.
Whereas I like it all, Robert.
Thank you very, very much indeed, Mary. So going back to Wales Comic Con, I have added you all to the Wales Comic Con page, because actually some very interesting posts on there, people posting their photo ops photos. But the one thing that will make Deb sick is somebody posting their photo op with Aidan Turner. She has got a signed photo of Aidan Turner that says, "To Debbie, lots of love, Aidan." And she did talk about FantasyCon 2 with him, and he's, I'm not paying, £20,000 probably for him to come down, not unless he lowers his price, of course. Love to have him down. But he's a very busy man, so he'll probably cancel anyway. But there's some lovely pictures of cosplayers and people having fun, basically, at the event. The event has released their dates for the, I think it's 25th and 26th of April. So it's coming round again quite quickly. Whether we go to or not, I'd love to. But, yeah.
Just
but,
to stand in line some more.
Well, just to maybe not stand in line so much, you know. I mean, obviously, I've got pictures with David Tennant and Matt Smith. I wouldn't probably do that again. I don't tend to do it again unless it's cheap or I feel the need to. Because obviously, I did have a picture with Colin at FantasyCon, but then I'd have to pay for that because it was my event. But, you know, I wouldn't have probably normally done that if I'd gone to an event that Colin was at because I've got a few pictures with him. You know, I don't sort of see the need to constantly get pictures of people I've already met. I like meeting them and speaking to them.
Yeah, it's something new. You know,
if I can find a Funko of them, I'll get that signed because it's quite nice to have signed Funko. I'm not an autograph person, but even get a picture of me with that person signed, that's probably a bit more, you know, like my Sarah Sutton picture up there. It's quite nice to have a signed picture of me with Sarah Sutton. Oh. But yeah.
When was that?
Who's Sarah Sutton?
Yeah, when was that?
Oh, that was in 2016 at Dimensions in Newcastle. I got an interview. If you listen to the show back in 2016, you'll hear the interview that I did with herself, with Claire Clifford. Matthew Waterhouse refused to do one, so he can do one, literally, although he might come to our events. I better not be too unkind. And Lee John, who was very nice.
Lee.
Yeah, cool. So that's it then. I think we've finally, although I'm not going to talk about Who Won and Lavazzi because they get mentioned at the front of every show.
You mean whowon.co.uk?
Oh. Which one?
Shut up. Yeah, so.
By the way, did everyone see the great little Twitter video that I posted on the 20 megabyte of Gareth Bisbois?
Of what? What was it?
That's funny.
You need to see it, Adam, if you haven't.
I'll try and get to watch it.
The other day, Gareth David Lloyd was in Cardiff, and he caught someone defacing Ianto.
He was at Wales Comic Con, and he was sat on his own, and nobody going to see him. And I really wanted to go over and say, please come to FantasyCon 2. But I couldn't because I was warned off by one of his other agents. So there you go. But yeah, he was sat on his own. But have a look on Wales Comic Con for all the posters. So there's a lovely video of Alex Kingston and Catherine Tate dancing on. There's a walkway that the celebrities use, which were above the arena, and they were dancing to one of the gaming things called Let's Dance. Is it? It was filmed by a few people, but it's quite a charming little video.
Just Dance, is it?
Yeah.
I think it's Just Dance, isn't it?
So there's some unique stuff there. Dance. Really, really good. No, there's also, you can see things I wasn't able to take pictures of, like the Game of Thrones photo set they had there. It was really, really fantastic. Wales Comic Con, great event.
You get those glasses that have cameras in them,
that would be
very
useful,
covert.
Well, Isabella did
do
get
that.
Some. Isabella got some glasses, which she was very excited about. I can't remember; they were special glasses that Iron Man gave to Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe.
Oh yes,
something special about them. I don't know what it was, but she found something special about it. That's all I can suggest. Go and look at the page because it has got quite a lot of really good stuff there, which I didn't know. It's a weekend event. I think, you know, if I didn't have a show to film today, I would have gone there for the whole weekend. We could have done day one doing all these photo ops, day two, because David Tennant and Matt Smith weren't in on the Sunday, that probably would have freed up day two to do other things. Apparently there was a talk with Kathleen Tate at 4 p.m. which was hilarious. She's apparently very, very good. But there you go.
Of course,
but
she's hilarious and wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, we've done it. I'm really pleased we finally got to meet Matt Smith and David Tennant. That's probably the biggest thrill I got out of that.
So how many doctors have you met now?
Pertwee. I've seen Tom Baker at a distance, but I haven't met him. I've spoken to Davison, thanks to you guys at Conquest Cerberus. We've not met him. I've seen him, again, with a few feet away, but not spoke to him face-to-face. So does that count as meeting him? No. Colin Baker, Sylvester McCoy, Paul McGann, now Capaldi, Smith, and Tennant. So we're looking for Eccleston and Whittaker Tom Baker, which is getting very, very unlikely now. And that's about Hartnell. It, really, isn't it? And
yeah.
Hartnell? I've got to dig him up.
Dig him up.
David Bradley.
David Bradley.
Well, Bradley's there today. He was there at Wales Comic Con today, so, you know, but unfortunately.
He does Big Finish, you know. He plays the first Doctor as
well. He does. I'd love to, again, he's someone I'd like to have, but he's probably a very expensive guest to hire. But it's now.
I've actually got some sad news that's just come in.
Uh-oh.
The man who played the first Doctor, William Hartnell, has passed away.
Hilarious. Did you guys know that the guy played Charlie X in Star Trek died?
No, I didn't know.
Did
that,
you know that Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird, died today?
Yeah, that's actually a real thing.
I didn't know that.
Crap.
I was going to going to talk about last week. Oh yes. Before we go, I know this is an audio presentation, but
you'll have to post all these pictures.
No, I've got some really good
fun. Posted two of them.
I showed you my Kablam Man one, didn't I?
Yes.
Kablam! Stop arguing.
Right. I'm not arguing, I'm agreeing.
Arguing?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, Isabella was thrilled about meeting Shazam Man. I can't remember his name now.
Zachary Levi,
yeah. But she had the Zachary Levi version of Shazam Man Funko Pop, which she got signed by him. And the autograph she got from somebody else, she really liked, signed it to Izzy, when apparently they were signing it to, not necessarily dedicating the photo. Anyway, this is really cool. Is it?
Can't really see
this. Renaissance Dalek.
It's reflecting on it. I can see
it now. Look, it's a Dalek.
It's the steampunk Dalek. It's the steampunk.
Does it say on there?
Renaissance.
Steampunk Dalek.
It doesn't say steampunk. Renaissance Dalek. That's really cool. It's probably from part of the set. I haven't got the whole set yet because apparently one of the figures is Tim Shaw. I want to get that one. It's a good one.
The picture is very fuzzy, Adam. So
yeah, sorry. I apologize for that.
It's very pixelated.
There it is, look.
Hey.
Doctor.
I like that.
Doctor.
I
like that
a lot.
Yes, and I've got one more. Well, I've shown you that one.
The best moment last year.
That's it. You've seen that one. It's the Kablam Man. Yeah, so. But I want to get... there's a Tim Shaw and there's one other figure in the set.
Tim Shaw.
I can't remember which one it is now. Damn. I can't remember. There's another one. There's Tim Shaw and another character from Series 12. Sorry, 11. But, a good little set to have that. That's it, Liz.
I need to go.
I need to go too. I should have had a bath about an hour and a half ago.
I need to go.
When are we next recording?
That would be somewhere around the 1st of January.
The Sunday after the 1st of January.
That's the Sunday after the 1st, yeah.
That would be the 5th.
I think it's only 4 or 5 days. It's like the 4th or 5th.
So, just for the notes for the listeners, the journey is on hiatus now until the new series is finished. So we are now going to be reviewing, as not now, but so after, in the news. This is the last show of 2019.
When did you see the first episode?
Last show of 2019. Oh, for God's sake. Yes?
Master, you're just busy for the next several weeks. That's why we're not doing it.
Well, I can't do it next week because I've got to go and watch Alicia's Boyfriend in Panto. The following week...
no, you don't.
It's just before Christmas.
Yeah.
It is just before Christmas. I could do one, but I don't want to tie anybody down. The 29th...
We're only skipping 3 weeks, so that's not... We've skipped three weeks before.
Yeah, I've just thought that we've ended this series, and it'd be nice to just bring it back at the beginning of a new series of old Doctor Who.
I liked that idea. I was going to suggest
that. Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. We're now going to have a Christmas break and come back in the new year on the 5th to review.
We're going to break Christmas?
We're going to come back on the 5th to review the episode that was on the 1st.
What is Spyfall Part 1?
Beg your pardon?
Spyfall Part 1.
Spyfall Part 1. Well, then that's going to be awkward.
Spyfall?
Isn't it? So we might not be able to do it.
It was released in 2012, wasn't it?
Excuse me.
No, Spy.
If it's a two-parter, we won't be able to review it until it finishes.
What?
If it's a two-parter...
You're not going to review the story until it's finished?
If it's a two-part story...
That's not how it works.
We won't be able to review it until we've seen both parts.
Why?
I don't know. We could do the first episode and then make predictions about how it's going to be wrong.
That's fine. I don't know.
Speculation.
That's fine. If you want to do that, yes, we'll do that. That's fine. I'm happy to do that. We'll do that then. Yes?
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
I'm happy with
that.
So,
anyway, happy New Year and Merry Christmas, and thank you for supporting the show during 2019 as we move into the 2020s. We've been a show that has resided in the 2010s for the whole of its life, but in 2020 we enter our 11th year and we'll celebrate our 10th anniversary. So this is the show of 2019. Whoa. And I've been on every episode, just like Senna. even the one that Reese tried to hijack.
We were talking about that. Actually, when we were trying to get everything to work, we mentioned that, and then
you hijacking it,
and he saw you managed to put yourself on there as well.
I did indeed, because you gave me the audio file.
I did.
So anyway,
well, I couldn't upload it without you.
So thanks everybody for your support. Have a great Christmas and New Year, and we'll see you again in January for the new series of Doctor Who. Goodbye.
Woo-hoo. Sorry, mustache.
Bye-bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whowon.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.